What does it mean that as the vital life force is raised up through the mind of man, the energies are restricted only to the earth element in each of the higher spheres of mind? More importantly is the fact that in carnal, organic man, because of the holographic 12 within the 12, the whole of the person's thinking and perception of reality is limited to that earth sphere, which is why the multitude of people are portrayed as blind and unable to comprehend the concepts and teachings pertaining to the soul and the mysteries of the kingdom. See Gospel Mysteries. And why in the Gospel account, the majority of people are portrayed as being without, and because they dwell at an animal soul level of consciousness that is ruled over their lower animal nature, see animal soul, and only capable of being taught in the enigma of parables. While those who have embraced the process of transformation were spoken of as being in the house, see in the house. The Gospel accounts state that Jesus only spoke to the multitude of hearers in the enigma of parables. It is imperative that we recognize that Jesus did not, and could not, speak and teach plainly to those who are portrayed as being without the house that is. And with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Mark 4:33-34 NKJV. The word translated explained. In the phrase, and when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Literally translated from the Greek into English means to unloose or untie, that is, what has been outside the house. The term open and unloose the mind was also used in the gospel as the path to entering the inner kingdom. See open and unloose the mind. Oneness in the third force morphic field. In the same way that it is the joining of the generative essence of the mother and father that forms the one cell embryo, it is the interaction of the chromosomes derived from the father which interact with the chromosomes derived from the mother within the embryo in the process of expansion, which forms the body vessel on the next level of the holographic reality. What this means is that the vital life force from the male interacts with that of the female, bringing about the uniting and expansion of mind, creating the third force of higher reality as portrayed in the image on the right. And this manifests what is portrayed above as the morphic field. See gender blindness and the process of birth. That creates an atmosphere-like environment of mind and spirit that immerses the male and female halves that make the husband and wife one flesh. And as the husband and wife begin the alchemical process of expansion and deepening of mind and being, instead of the bioenergy being lost into nature, the vital life force is instead channeled within the body and mind of the joint husband and wife, and is instead utilized to bring about the transformative next stage of birth that was portrayed by Jesus as necessary to entering the kingdom that is, ultimately permitting and bringing about the return of the prodigal son to his source. The Gospel of the Nazarenes preserves an important teaching that was removed from the scriptures published by the church. In this saying, reference is made to the preservation of the male seed that is, my work is to teach and to heal the children of men, and he that is born of God keeps his seed within him. Why keep one's seed within oneself? That seed is the power of regeneration and, as portrayed in the parable of the prodigal son, one can squander it away on riotous living in this, the far country, or one can utilize this bioenergy for the regeneration of self. In view of the fact that the male retains the original pattern of XY, whereas woman is XX, there exists the prospect of self-generation. But this is very difficult and is totally contrary to the laws of nature. Far more easy is to live as husband and wife in a divinely consecrated marriage, where the seed/bioenergy is totally utilized within the construct of the union for the expansion and deepening of the man and woman's mind and being. As stated in the above, in the conception of the physical body in the form of the embryo in one's mother's womb, prior to the actual conception where the sperm and ovum merge into a single cell embryo, the sperm and ovum must split in order to retain the human 46 chromosomes, that is, 23 from the mother and 23 from the father. But this 46 chromosome limit, while in a divided state, limits the person to that level, which can be portrayed as organic human consciousness. Further, from the perspective of a holographic allegorical pattern, the initial splitting of the sperm and ovum can, within the pattern, be portrayed as the separation of Adam and Eve within the physical womb of the mother. In contradistinction, when a husband and wife enter into a divine marriage, creating a morphic field that forms a type of atmosphere in which they personally dwell, a morphic field that insulates them from the rest of mankind, they are then returned to the original 92 chromosomes, which, prior to splitting to bring about human conception, can be portrayed as XYXX. and it is the interaction of the husband and wife on this 96 chromosome level of being within the embryo of the morphic field, which was formed by the divine marriage, that enables the husband and wife to expand beyond the organic human level of consciousness, as stated in the 22nd saying of the Gospel of Thomas in the words, Jesus said to them, "When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom." The Gospel of the Nazarenes preserves an important teaching that was removed from the scriptures published by the church. In this saying, reference is made to the preservation of the male seed, that is, "My work is to teach and to heal the children of men, and he that is born of God keeps his seed within him." Why keep one's seed within oneself? That seed is the power of regeneration, and, as portrayed in the parable of the prodigal son, one can squander it away on riotous living in this, the far country, or one can utilize this bioenergy for the regeneration of self, in view of the fact that the male retains the original pattern of XY, whereas woman is XX. There exists the prospect of self-generation. But this is very difficult and is totally contrary to the laws of nature. Far more easy is to live as husband and wife in a divinely consecrated marriage, where the seed/bioenergy is totally utilized within the construct of the union for the expansion and deepening of the man and woman's mind and being. As stated in the above, in the conception of the physical body in the form of the embryo in one's mother's womb, prior to the actual conception, where the sperm and ovum merge into a single cell embryo, the sperm and ovum must split in order to retain the human 46 chromosomes, that is, 23 from the mother and 23 from the father. But this 46 chromosome limit, while in a divided state, limits the person to that level, which can be portrayed as organic human consciousness. Further, from the perspective of a holographic allegorical pattern, the initial splitting of the sperm and ovum can, within the pattern, be portrayed as the separation of Adam and Eve within the physical womb of the mother. In contradistinction, when a husband and wife enter into a divine marriage, creating a morphic field that forms a type of atmosphere in which they personally dwell, a morphic field that insulates them from the rest of mankind, they are then returned to the original 92 chromosomes, which, prior to splitting to bring about human conception, can be portrayed as XYXX. And it is the interaction of the husband and wife on this 96 chromosome level of being within the embryo of the morphic field, which was formed by the divine marriage, that enables the husband and wife to expand beyond the organic human level of consciousness, as stated in the 22nd saying of the Gospel of Thomas in the words, Jesus said to them, "When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom." Holographically, the physical must be understood as the pattern of all the levels of higher reality. Therefore, in the same way that the physical offspring of man and woman begins in the generative organs, so too does the thoughts of man and woman. The mind of man is in the etheric bodies which surround the physical, and this is why the mind can become disconnected from the physical in a near-death experience, NDE, or out-of-body experience, OOB, as presented at the Folly of the NDE Critic. Anyone who has experienced an NDE or an OOB recognizes that not only does their mind function when detached or disconnected from the physical body, but their perception and cognitive thinking is often greatly elevated when the mind is no longer anchored to the physical body. The brain is therefore a power center in the body that the mind uses to express itself in the physical, but so too is the opposite polarity and power center in the organs of generation. In the diagram and pattern of the spheres of mind at the right, in the same way that the left and right columns are equal, opposites, so too is the upper topmost and the bottom sphere polarity opposites, each being half of the other polarity as portrayed in the above saying in the Gospel of Thomas, "When you make the two one, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female, right and left columns, one and the same, in the center, so that the male not be male nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom." And in accord with the holographic pattern, in the same way that the physical offspring is an expression of the organs of generation, so too are the thoughts of man conceived in that area of the mind. An organic man, the flow of vital life force associated with the generation of thoughts begins in the lower earth sphere in the pattern presented at the right. and this vital life force rises up into the foundation sphere, where it is then tested. The foundation sphere is connected to the soul matrix and is the seat of who you are based upon the accomplishments of all the past lives that your higher soul self has lived. See Soul Symphony, Time, Soul Octaves, Spiritual Cathedral. The foundation sphere can be portrayed as being strongly influenced by what can be called each person's spiritual DNA. The Church Father Origen wrote that every soul comes into this world strengthened by the victories or weakened by the defeats of its previous life. Origen, De Principis. Those souls who have accomplished much in their past will be able to conserve and channel more vital life force within themselves through the center spheres of mind that are the balance of the outer linear/intuitive columns, thereby possessing greater insight and understanding of what they see and understand. Those who can be portrayed in the parable of the prodigal son as having squandered away their inheritance on riotous living, expelling their generative power and bioenergy on the things of this world, because the energy can't be balanced in the center. Tree of life. It moves out into the lower spheres of the tree of duality. And if it is male, earth logic, or feminine, earth intuition, it lacks the balance to be channeled within, and the bioenergy becomes lost into nature. Thus, the outer columns of the tree of life, which are representative of the tree of duality, generate thoughts and impressions that are portrayed in the allegory of Genesis as the forbidden fruit of the tree of duality, that the eating of which brings death. Why? Because of their incomplete and divided nature being half of their opposite polarity, male or female. As stated in the above, the linear logic, which is male, and the intuitive, which is female, not only perceives the world differently, but often from opposite and sometimes conflicting perspectives. Yet, with all paradoxical opposites, each side of the equation is not only equally valid, but in the divine design is intended to be resolved when the third force balance of mind, in the center, is elevated to a higher plane. And when rightly understood, all man and woman need is each other developing and raising up both the linear and the intuitive into a state of mental and spiritual to where the third force of mind exists on a higher enlightened plane. Lack of development beyond the organic. The question can rightly be asked, why don't we observe this higher development of mind among the vast majority of married couples? In the undeveloped mind, the generative power and bioenergy or vital life force rises up only through the earth sphere of each of the 12 spheres of mind, thereby limiting the consciousness of the person to earth consciousness. See above 12 within the 12. Thus, holographically, 1/12th of each of the upper spheres is of the earth vibration and consciousness. In much the same way, because the interaction of male and female in our culture is only on a sexual or emotional level, no higher level of interaction can take place. By remaining carnal or organic, only 1/12th of each sphere is utilized. The process of expansion and deepening of the mind is intended to develop each of the 11/12ths of each sphere of mind beyond the organic earth level of consciousness, thereby enabling the person, man and woman, to utilize those higher spheres of mind beyond the earth limitations. But because the thinking and lifestyle of the person remains carnal, their perception and thoughts remain attached to the earth, keeping them virtually blind to all higher realities beyond the earth vibration. The tree of duality, aka knowledge of good and evil, is named as such because the gender-based impressions of man and woman are opposite polarities that are each representative of 1/3 of the whole. In the triangle on the right, male and female can be portrayed as the opposite outer points on the horizontal line, each thought and impression polarized to opposite, and often conflicting perceptions of reality, each needed to complete its opposite. In an organic relationship, the third force balance is on the same horizontal plane, and in most instances, is predominated by either the feminine or masculine outer columns or points of the tree of duality. In the diagram at the right, the angles that form the triangle are representations of the laws that bring about balance on a higher plane and wholeness/completion, which must be represented in the threefold equality of the angles or laws. Consensus between male/female is not enough. Neither is agreement. The duality of the male/female thoughts and impressions must become elevated and matured in their interaction on a higher plane. Quoting from the opening and unlocking of the mind. One of the greatest lessons the people of our modern culture must learn is that equal does not mean the same. Perhaps this is best expressed in the introduction of the long-ignored book Brain Sex by Ann Moyer and David Jessel, where they wrote, men are different from women. They are equal only in their common membership of the same species, humankind, to maintain that they are the same in aptitude, skill, or behavior is to build a society based on a biological and scientific lie. The key to the dilemma that confronts us today is further seen in the words of the authors with respect to their opposition to the ideas we teach our children in our modern-day politically correct culture. What you will read in this book about the differences between men and women may make both sexes angry or smug. Both reactions are wrong. If women have reason to rage, it is not because science has set at naught their hard-won struggle towards equality. Their wrath should rather be directed at those who have sought to misdirect and deny them their very essence. The book then goes on to embrace the very real statement that women should contribute their specific female gifts rather than waste their energies in the pursuit of a sort of surrogate masculinity. A woman's greater imagination can solve intractable problems, be they professional or domestic, at one apparently intuitive stroke. More recently, another female researcher named Dr. Luan Brizendini has authored a book named The Female Mind. Dr. Brizendini, whose book is based on her own clinical work and analyses of more than 1,000 scientific studies, added, "There is no unisex brain. Girls arrive already wired as girls, and boys arrive already wired as boys. Their brains are different by the time they're born, and their brains are what drive their impulses, values, and their very reality. I know it is not politically correct to say this, but I've been torn for years between my politics and what science is telling us. I believe women actually perceive the world differently from men. If women attend to those differences, they can make better decisions about how to manage their lives. These more informed decisions are basically impossible for most women in today's culture because of the biological lie that is being promoted due to political correctness. The problem is that because we dwell in a world that is generally defined by a male linear perspective, the true nature and depth of the feminine mind is largely an unexplored realm of vast substance and opportunity. In fact, once this far-reaching reality is truly realized, one must begin to acknowledge that even men are severely anchored and inhibited by their own and society's ignorance with respect to the higher purpose and untapped potential of the female mind. In this respect, woman is the missing element in man's search for God and the meaning of life, and vice versa. From the perspective reality of the tree of duality, the perceptive impressions of man and woman are representative of 1/3 of the whole, and without the developmental balance that elevates them above the organic horizontal level, no real growth, expansion, or deepening of mind can be brought about. And it is this limiting factor that keeps man and woman earthbound. That is the reason for the male/female divided realities of mind to be portrayed as the forbidden fruit of the tree of duality, the restoral of Adam and Eve. There is no such thing as a male or female soul. Why? Your true self is a being of light that dwells in a 12-dimensional realm, which can be portrayed as the realm of souls. The Zohar teaches that all souls came into being in the Alpha of creation as sparks of the divine mind, of which form the individual souls. As sparks of the divine mind, each soul was infantile because no experiential knowledge which develops the soul had taken place. In the same way that the soul is the perfect balance of the polarities of positive, which is manifest as male, and reflective/negative, which is manifest as female, all growth and development of the light of the soul could only be brought about through the interaction of the male and female polarities. Therefore, this subrealm, which is three-dimensional, enables the separation of the male and female polarities. And through the interaction of the two polarities in this three-dimensional subrealm, development could be brought about. In the allegorical account of Genesis, the original Adam was portrayed as being male and female prior to being divided. In the same way that the soul is asexual, and is a being of light by virtue of the perfect balance of the male and female polarities that manifest our true self as a being of pure intellect and consciousness, our true self that exists on a soul level is not polarized to male or female or any other form of duality. And yet, the enlightened vision of reality is the product of the absolute balance of duality. What this means is that a person who thinks and is manifest as a man or woman has a difficult objective in evolving their mind to the degree where they no longer think and see the world from the perspective of a man or woman, and are able to balance the two polarities of man and female that create the light of the soul, see. Which provokes the question, can this be accomplished by abstaining from interaction with your gender opposite polarity? Or through total immersion in the manifestation of the third force balance? In Jewish mysticism, the allegorical account of Eve did not come into being when formed from the rib of Adam, but rather, what is personified as Eve always existed before being separated. And when the allegorical account is understood, mankind can only be restored to the higher reality of Eden. When Adam and Eve are reunited into oneness, the forbidden fruit of the tree of duality is in fact the separated and divided male and female impressions of mind. In the first creation account of Genesis, man was created from the beginning male and female in the image of God, that is. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Gen 1:27 KJV. Which indicates that what is allegorically portrayed as Eve always existed within the reality of the One. Yet, in order to evolve and bring about the necessary growth and development that initiates mental and spiritual maturity, the opposite polarities of male and female had to interact with each other. On a soul level of being, there is no such thing as a male or female soul, and our soul or true self exists as a being of light, because the polarities of male and female exist in a state of perfect balance and oneness. Our soul or true self exists on a higher plane beyond our conscious perception, because of the oneness of the opposite polarities of male and female, which exist in duality at a lower level of the consciousness associated with this physical realm. And it was the laws of creation that brought this separation about as personified in the second chapter of Genesis. See the laws of creation. Which means that, in order to bring about the expansion and deepening of mind beyond the organic animal soul level of consciousness, see animal soul. The opposite polarities personified in the allegorical account of Adam and Eve must be brought together and reformed into the original non-dualist pattern of Adam/Eve. To accomplish this within a divine marriage or union, the woman must become a surrogate for the man's feminine nature that has been suppressed by his positively charged generative power. Where in our limited perception, we would categorize sexual intercourse as the basis of procreation. The higher meaning and purpose of sex will perpetually evade us until we understand that we are in fact living out a crucial, allegorical, symbol of achieving higher consciousness and knowing. What this means is that when we begin to apply the allegorical symbol that man and woman are living out in the act of sex and procreation, and begin to apply what is personified in the act of sexual interaction on every level of our being, only then can we begin to bring about the process of mental expansion and spiritual deepening that restores our consciousness to what is portrayed in the Garden of Eden. In the same way that you can break down an electrical generator into two parts, a magnetic coil within which the armature turns, and it is the interaction of the coiled wires of the armature breaking the magnetic field that produces the flow of electrical power in the form of positive, male, and negative, female, polarities, this same interaction of the opposite polarities is transpiring on every level of our mind and being. Which interaction of opposites is the reason why many enlightened people conclude that in reality, there is nothing but sex taking place on every level of our mind and being. And this enlightened understanding was correctly set forth by the Church Father Origen, who wrote in De Principis. But all the narrative portion, relating either to the marriages, or to the begetting of the children, or to battles of different kinds, or to any other histories whatever. What else can they be supposed to be? Save the forms and figures of hidden and sacred things? The positive, male, and negative, female, polarities exist and interact at every level of our consciousness, and all transformative growth and development is through the sexual interaction of the two opposite polarities. And therefore, all the marriages and begetting of offspring that are set forth in the scriptures is an allegorical picture and blueprint of human consciousness in the process of transformative growth and development in pursuit of achieving higher consciousness. But what this also means is that, because we are living out the allegorical process personified in sexual interaction and procreation daily in our lives, at any time we begin to apply this gender-based reality to every area of achieving and manifesting higher consciousness and awareness, we are guaranteed success. Modern genetics has made us aware of the term 23andMe, which is representative of the perfect balance of the 23 chromosomes of our father and 23 chromosomes of our mother, which have been merged together to form the genetic code of our physical bodies. And in the same way that this perfect balance is true in the physical, it is also true on a mental and spiritual level of our mind and being. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. Rev 2:7. The mind is patterned in the blueprint of the tree of life, is comprised of four trinities where the opposite polarities of male and female interact to bring about the offspring of higher consciousness, wholeness, and manifest spirituality. What this means is that on one level, every aspect of life is immersed in sexual interaction and the procreation of our own higher life in pursuit of our own return to Eden. In the scriptures, there is a focus on sexual purity and virginity. See sexual immorality. Which provokes the question as to why does the scriptures require sexual purity between husband and wife? In the previous link is the statement, never have sex with someone you don't want to become. And the fact is explored that in sexual congress, the woman becomes part of the man she has sex with on a deeper level, receiving his thoughts and impressions, which, from the perspective of a divine marriage and the restoral of Adam and Eve within the man and woman in a union, defiles the woman and in most instances, renders her incapable to becoming a surrogate for her husband's suppressed and innate feminine nature. And because her mind is reflecting the thoughts and impressions of many men, it becomes extremely difficult for her to reflect, raise up, and transform the thoughts and impressions of her husband, which from the perspective of the natural laws of creation, is her divine purpose of being. In many ways, a husband and wife can be thought of as the two halves of a single heart functioning together as one in order to supply the needs of the whole body. The heart and the blood brings life-giving oxygen and food to every cell of the body, removing the toxins after the life-giving nourishment has been delivered. Without the heart and living-giving nourishment the blood delivers, nothing else in the body can function. If the heart is defective and replaced with a surrogate heart from a donor, without drugs to suppress the natural immune system of the body, the heart will be rejected and rendered totally dysfunctional. When a woman has been defiled by a multitude of sexual partners, each of which remains connected to her, and is bombarding her with foreign thoughts and impressions from outside the union, it is this defilement that renders her dysfunctional from a higher mental and spiritual perspective. Therefore, unless the man and woman has a long and elevated history spanning lifetimes of achievement together, which they have brought into the union in the present, the union itself will remain impotent and even flatlined from a higher spiritual perspective as portrayed in the scriptures. Which provokes the question that every woman must ask herself as to what is she bringing to her husband on their wedding night? If all her husband is looking for is a sexual and emotional partner where the two build a worldly life together, then her defiled condition is not as important to the relationship. A donor heart that is supported by immune suppressant drugs serves the purpose of keeping the person physically alive. But if the objective is a divine marriage that can restore the separated Adam, and even enabling the husband and wife to achieve the next stage of birth, then the essence and spiritual purity of the union becomes a paramount reality. And from the perspective of the gospel teachings, the purity of the union is of paramount importance, that is. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. See Matt 5:27-28. Therefore, if sexual purity was not an important issue from the perspective of the gospel and the teachings of the new covenant, then Jesus never would have made the statement on adultery. Why did he make such a statement condemning our modern culture of recreational sex? Because unless the woman can become one flesh with her husband, thereby becoming a surrogate for his suppressed feminine/intuitive nature, then the marriage union will remain spiritually flatlined and of this world. Quoting from the opening of this article, see the process of birth within the tree of life. In the same way that men and women are polarized opposite polarities, their inherent gender weaknesses, needs and desires are also opposite. Men are polarized positive at the genitals, which empowers the lower animal nature. See organic man controlled by his lower animal nature, and is often totally controlled and consumed by his need to fulfill the appetites of his lower nature. What this means is that while men are easily controlled by the often unmanageable flow of vital, sexual, life force that flows from his genital regions, women, on the other hand, are polarized opposite in the genitals, and thus are able to exert a greater amount of control with respect to their sexuality. On the other hand, women's breasts, which, unlike the animal kingdom, are perpetually enlarged because her body serves a higher purpose than just providing nourishment for infants, is polarized positive in this area of mind. This positive polarization is often seen as being over-emotional, sensitive, and much more feeling than her male counterpart, who perceives life through the vision of linear mathematical logic. Thus, the male is polarized negative at that level of mind that corresponds to the breast. In order to receive this higher and more refined vital life force back from his wife, thereby creating a circle between them that initiates mental/spiritual development and the birth of the child of truth within the two that are one. Jewish mysticism, Kabbalah, teaches the woman was created and exists on a higher plane than her male counterpart. And this is true because of her positive polarity that is manifest on a higher level of mind. Look around you at the world, and you will observe the male's absolute fixation on women's breasts. Why? Not because of their desire to nurse, as some of our psychologists have reasoned, but rather because they possess an absolute need for the vital life force energy from that region of mind where women are polarized positive.